back in everyone to a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have a fantastic show to be sharing with you today, and joining us to talk to us about it, we are excited to welcome back playwright Kenneth King and the director Emma Porva Green, both here to talk to us about the show Brought Up, playing May 9th through 11th at Speyer Hall Theater in University Settlement House. Tickets and more information are available at eventbrite.com. We are so excited to be bringing you this great, great show that's part of a bigger event, which is exciting. But we're also just really excited to be welcoming back a friend, welcoming in a new friend. So with that, let's go ahead and bring on our guests, Kenneth, Anna. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
Thank you for having us.
It is my honor. I'm so excited to be talking with the two of you today about this wonderful new show, Brought Up. Kenneth, can we start with you first and having you tell us a little bit about what this show is about?
This show is about the visceral appeal of warfare and the urgent but nearly impossible task of ending it. It is set, I've been talking it up as a post-colonial space opera. That is, you know, space opera in the literal sense of dealing with nation states in the future, specifically the potential imagined future of the Philippine nation state. I like to think that it can survive in the far off future, but I also understand that it will take a lot of work by people to ensure that it survives in a form that is kind and humane. The play is about the struggles of people who have been stuck within these systems of either oppression or propaganda, brought up to hate, like how they have learned to perhaps conflate loyalty and patriotism with blind nationalism, and it giving them a license to outright dehumanize, oppress, destroy, annihilate other human beings that they would consider as the enemy. Yeah, so that is, and I'm also very grateful to the Performance Project at University Settlement. They are the body that is funding and hosting me as an artist in residence here at the Performance Project for this year. They've given me this beautiful space that I'm talking to you from, resources, connections, networks, everything needed, everything needed to get this project off the ground. And it is, I'll be the first to admit, it's quite ambitious. So it's very exciting.
That is amazing. And it sounds like a completely timely show too, with everything going on. So what an important.
Yeah. I wrote it before the ongoing latest flare-up of the ongoing genocide. But yes, the significance is not lost on me. I used to, growing up, I used to love war. I used to love the technology behind it, the tactics, the stories. I could rattle off to you, like I can look at you put like a bunch of tanks in front of me and I can like identify which one is which, fighter aircraft, etc. I consume a lot of media, just like the technical specifications of, like, because I thought like war and its accoutrements are like really cool and really sexy to me. In the last few months, I've begun to feel very differently. And in the rewrites and revisions, I mean, this piece has always been, to me, an expression of, and this is something that, you know, this is not an original thought. Like, people talk about this with like Gundam or mecha anime, right? Like, war is bad, but robots are rad. But in the last few months, it's like I've lost a lot of my taste for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're nailing it right on the head. So I love that you've brought this piece around, especially at this time. And Anna, I want to bring you in. I'd love to know, how is it you came upon this piece?
Well, Kenneth and I, we went to grad school together. We are both Sarah Lawrence alums. And Kenneth and I were in the same playwriting class, which was Creative Impulse with our professor, Lisa Clare. And so I read draft one of this play in that class, and we were workshopping it. And it has been quite a pleasure and an honor to have seen it go through a variety of drafts, and lots of things have changed. And yet the core of it, which is the strongest parts of it, are what these characters are fighting for and their perseverance through their journeys, that has remained the same, and it has only gotten stronger. So it has been quite a while since we worked on this, and yet it feels like a new show every time that we read it, because I have constantly found something new in it every time that I read it, or every time that we go through a run. The actors are discovering really, really amazing stuff with it. Our designers have like dug a deeper hole into this world. And so, you know, with this amazing collaborative process that we've all come in, it feels like a new show, and yet it also feels like kind of coming home and finding a new home, which is what the show is about, is finding a new home and building a community.
That is so wonderful. I love that. So far, some really, really great ideas being spread around between the two of you. This is fantastic. And I want to stick with you up first on this next question. And I'd love to know, I mean, as of this time of recording, we're just over a week away from the show premiering. What has it been like developing the piece?
It has been quite a journey getting here. So our training in grad school was very much in a kind of a devised context. So when we were first starting out, we had designers in the room first before we had actors, which was an interesting and new way that we were kind of experimenting with working. And it was kind of fantastic, because what we did was we just kind of wanted to come in and say, let's throw everything at the wall and let's see what sticks. And so we very actively did that. We, I think within our first rehearsal together, we had done some script work and we had done a reading of the show and we'd given some feedback. But then what we also did was we did a space battle. We got all of these little toy spaceships and we divided everybody up and we were just like, okay, let's organize a space battle. Let's see what kind of comes up on that front. The next thing that we did was we built these 3D puzzle houses, and we're just kind of like, oh, this is really fascinating. How does one build a town? How would one build a town out of these paper houses that we have? You know, what buildings need to be there? And, you know, what is the landscape going to look like? And so that was kind of the beginning. And that was the paving for us and the foundation for us as we have gone through to this staging. We also did a lovely little group watch of Battlestar Galactica, which dramaturgically was very important for the show. I kind of think it was just Ken's way of being like, can we all watch Battlestar Galactica together?
True.
It was more for a hangout, I think, than, you know, dramaturgy work, but we did it. So I think for those that are really into sci-fi and have seen Battlestar Galactica, they will find little snippets of its aesthetic and inspiration kind of sprinkled in throughout.
I love that. Oh my gosh, what a process. I'm so digging on that.
It's been very fun. And then I really have to, again, tip it off to the rest of our team, because they have continued to come in with all of these amazing ideas and such incredibly, like, a big passion and big enthusiasm for the show. And what we have found together has been, like, extremely special. And I could not be more grateful for the people that we've had in the room.
There is a blind, noble courage in our designers and our cast. The script, I recognize, especially in its earliest drafts, was shockingly difficult to envision. And yet, Anna's work, the production team's work, the actors' work, they brought it to the stage in the mid-residency reading. And now, with ongoing revisions and going into its full staging, it's at a place where I would really love for as many people as possible to come see, experience, and then get their thoughts on, because I'm posing a lot of questions that I would love the answer to. But I also believe that, as with the power of theater, these are questions that we need to come together and answer as a community, and as people in a room talking and building and learning, maybe forgiving.
Yeah. Yeah, I love all of that. That is a fascinating answer there. And Ken, I want to keep snowballing off of this. And I want to ask you, especially as a playwright, is there a message or a thought you're hoping that people will take from this piece?
Their lives. The earliest drafts of this just said shoot the audience in the head, which I realize is not workable, thanks to the sage advice of designers much smarter than me. Anna?
I don't want to prescribe anything for the audience to take away from this show. I think the beauty in this work is, in theater in general, is that everybody will walk away with a different thought on it. And that's a fantastic thing. So to be like, oh, I walked out of this feeling complete hope for the state of the future, or someone else saying, you know, I felt differently. I welcome every single thought that the audience has, and I look forward to hearing what they think the play is about. I think everyone in our team we have a collective understanding of what the show is, but they also have their individual connections to the show. And that has been a driving force for all of us. So, and I want to extend that to our audience, to let them find the meaning and what the show means to them. I think that is what I hope that they take it with. I hope that they come in with an open mind, and then I am happy for them to leave with whatever thought that they feel like it's about.
There are elements in the show that only a Filipino audience would be able to immediately take away. That's intentional, and that's fine with me. There are also elements in the show that I'm actively, like, I'd like to open the floor for discussions.
It's so wonderful. I love those thoughts. Well, we've arrived at my final question for this first part, and I want to throw it your way. And of course, that is, who do you hope have access to this piece?
Everyone. Everyone, I hope, can have access to this piece. I think there is something in here for everybody. It is very sci-fi leaning. It is a sci-fi show. And, you know, so like I mentioned earlier, for those that like Battlestar Galactica, for those that, you know, enjoy like a Gundam anime, Legends of the Galactic Heroes, I think they will find a lot of things very enjoyable to kind of feed that kind of space heart of the show. But it's also very much about people and fighting for a future that you don't know if you'll see, and trying very hard to get there. And I think for those who come from a culture or have a history that has been impacted by colonization, in which those that have been oppressed are trying to speak and have the ability and are finding the ability to do so, and those that have been in power have been prioritized, that dynamic is very, very present in the show. So I think with that there, I think someone will find a connection to it one way or another, which is why I think it is for everyone to come and see it.
Second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. And of course, Kenneth, we have had you on before when we spoke about the final show playing at the Crane before it closed. But Anna, you are new to us, so I'm going to throw our regular first question at you to get things going. And that, of course, is what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
Some of my favorites. Oh, what a good question. And I think a difficult one to say my favorites, because the list could go on. We would be here forever. In terms of writers, my undergraduate degree is in literature, and it was partially in global English and memory and trauma studies. So I was doing a lot of work in that area, which is why like working with Kenneth has been so wonderful, because a lot of those themes connect very, very well. And so some of my favorite writers I think cover those are Viet Thanh Nguyen, who, you know, one of their books has just been turned into a TV show. So The Sympathizer, their short story collection called The Refugees, is amazing. Mohsin Hamid, his book Exit West is phenomenal. And I think in the first workshop with Kenneth regarding the show, I was just like, you need to read this book. You have to read this book. So Mohsin Hamid is amazing. Han So-jung, who is the playwright of Wolf Play. Wolf Play changed my life as an adopted Asian woman of color. And then, you know, going to see that show and having no idea what that show was about. And then coming away with like, oh, that was my experience in a play. Yeah, I have a very soft spot for that show. Yeah, Seth Dickinson, who wrote The Traitor Baru Cormorant and the respective series, actually had a lot of influence, I think, partially on the show and some of the other shows that Kenneth has worked on. RF Kuang, stunning, amazing, beautiful work constantly. N.K. Jemisin, yes, every single book by N.K. Jemisin, just yes. So that's a little bit, big reader over here. So there we go. In terms of plays, yeah, Wolf Play has been really, really fantastic. There was a production of A Doll's House that I saw a long time ago in 2019, which had an entirely South Asian cast. And that was really, really inspiring for me to see, you know, kind of growing up in, well, I mean, I grew up in Florida. So seeing an all South Asian cast anywhere was not going to happen. But I was in London studying and I saw this adaptation, and it again also changed my life to see a ton of people that looked like me doing this thing that I love, and it felt achievable and obtainable, especially, you know, as I was coming into my own as an artist. Yeah, it truly inspiring. And I do mean this so, which I feel so sounds so mushy and to say, but the team that we put together, they have inspired me every single day. Making theater is hard. It is really, really hard. And I think when I tell people that I make theater, they're like, oh yeah, so, you know, don't quit your day job, right? But I mean, we're doing it, and we're doing it successfully. And I, you know, success has a variety of vision upon it. I think what one person deems successful might not be accurate to another person. But for me, I've made it, I'm making it, and it's good. But my team that we have built for this show continues to inspire me. I continue to want to push harder for this show. And it's because, you know, we have such a strong grounding and strong connection to each other. That is, you know, who this is for at the end of the day. We're making something together.
I love that. Some wonderful names, beautiful sentiments in that. That is just absolutely fantastic. Thank you for sharing that list. Kenneth, let me ask you, how is it that you came into the theater?
I've been in the theater since I was in elementary school, on through high school, growing up, being born and raised in Manila in the Philippines. When I went to undergrad, our president was an action movie star of the time, Arab, and everybody was making fun of him. So I thought to myself, well, I want to be a serious person. So I don't want to take up theater for undergrad. So for my undergrad, I went to business school and then like a pre-law degree, which was terrible for me. But during, even back then, I would be in our musical theater org in university. I have done, in my time in corporate, my evenings would be filled with performing, conceptualizing improv shows with my group, Silly People's Improv Theater, shout out to Spit in Manila, and then getting to tour around the world with them. I feel that in my capacity as both a senior member, regular performer, and we would do like 60 shows a year, and as a rotating artistic director for that, especially like when we're touring in various, like, oh, where'd we get to go? We got to go to Shanghai, Bogota, Amsterdam. Chicago Improv Fest was great. New York Improv Fest was great. Singaporeans are fantastic. Hong Kong was fun. The Japanese are incredible. So getting to tour and perform and have like these show concepts rapidly prototyped was very useful and a lot of fun. But it was only in around 2018, my now fiance moved to the US to get her MBA, and I followed her, and I didn't want to be useless around the house. So I got into conservatory for a couple of years, which I've always wanted to get to do, familiarize myself with like some of the American canon, US theater culture. It was intensive. It was fun. A lot of my friends from conservatory are currently performing in this play. And then after that, 2 years in grad school at Sarah Lawrence, where I met Anna and a lot of the designers and performers for this play. Yeah, it's been, I guess I've always been in the theater. I've always been trying to talk myself out of it. And every time I did, I've been more miserable for it. And now my time here, getting to make theater in New York City, no matter, it's like when Anna said, like, we're successful, God forbid, but we're booked, we're busy. I'm exhausted a lot, but I love it. I wouldn't trade the world for it. I'm really grateful to be here. I'm really grateful to get to make cool stuff with insanely dedicated, passionate people.
Oh, yes to all of that. That is an amazing answer. I love that. Love that. And now we have arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is, what is your favorite theater memory? Or Kenneth, in your case, what is another of your favorite theater memories?
Well, I mean, there's so many of them. I feel like every show that I've worked on has come with something that has changed me and made me become a better artist. And so it's hard to choose. I think there was a show, and it was not a show that I did, but it was during the height of the pandemic, and there was this theater that I was working at that had asked for, not, there was a theater that I was working at during the height of the pandemic, and we were doing film series at the time. And I had put together a series of films, and there was one that I think only four people showed up to. And I was like, oh, I have completely and utterly failed. And then as the audience was leaving, they were saying that was one of the greatest things that I've seen in my life. Like, that is one of my new all-time favorite films. And I was like, okay, so four people showed up and one person, maybe two, three of those people, one of them was my friend. So they did show up, but it was out of peer pressure. But the three people that I did not know were like, that was an amazing film. Thank you for sharing it with us. I was just like, okay, so I have changed something for this person, at least for today. And just because there's not a massive turnout does not mean that it's a failure. It was still a success. And so I think that has continued to teach me a lot out of, you know, what makes a good show. And I have now, you know, performed in shows in which, you know, yeah, it was a black box and there were four or five people in the audience, and, you know, everything tech-wise had gone wrong. And yet the show went on and I still felt proud of it because I know the kind of work that I and my team have put in. And yeah, it's only, you know, failure if you don't try. And I found that little memory in a little diary recently. And that was on a particular day that I was feeling anxious about the things that we still have to do to, you know, make sure the show is ready for a couple of weeks. And I was like, it just helped me take a breath. And so that is one of my favorite memories that has allowed me to grow. In terms of my memories on this show, I think one of my favorite days was our fight director and costume designer, Tristan Wolf Larson, had come in, and he came in with some of our prop weapons for the show. And the cast, I have never seen them quite as excited as that day, as, you know, you put a weapon in their hand, again, prop weapons, and they were just like, ah, ra-ta-ta-ta. And so there was something about that of, you know, seeing the actors get to play and have fun and be like in an extreme amount of joy while also acting out this very tragic thing that is going on with their characters. So I think just seeing everybody be motivated and inspired by a new design element that influenced their acting that also made it fun for them, I think that that's one of been one of my favorite memories on this particular production.
I love those. Those are all so fantastic. Beautiful memories there. Thank you for those. Caleb, what about you? What is another of your favorite memories?
The next couple of weeks will be, career-wise, the most important of my life. A month ago, I could say the same thing before a bunch of my other shows were opening up. 6 months ago, I could say the same thing for other shows that were opening of mine. The fact that at this stage of my life, I can continually look forward to the pressure and the privilege of next week being the most important week for me is something that I hold on to with a great deal of joy. Like being able to look forward to, oh, because you got this thing going on and it's gonna go and it's gonna open and all these people are gonna come. And that's a lot of pressure, but you get to do it. Just that constant feeling that like that I'm doing work that I deeply care for. Especially after years of work where in the corporate field where I feel like I was like sleepwalking. I was very comfortable, but you know, it's I didn't really have much of a reason to get up most days. But here, yeah, the first time that one of my plays was acted out, somebody asked me, I went to the rehearsal of it, and the performers were going up and they were saying my words, and there's a giant robot puppet designed by Laurie King, our current puppeteer. The director was Alia Hunter, and they were asking, oh, what did you think of the rehearsal? And I'm like, I don't know. I was crying through the entire thing. I saw nothing because my eyes were clouded by the constant sobbing for like half an hour. The next day, ask me the next day, I'll see it again. Then I can offer some feedback.
I love that. I love that idea. I love those thoughts, those memories. Thank you so much for those. Both of you, thank you for those. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
The solo show that I put together, also with Anna Porva's help, which is about my grandmother, who was on her deathbed at the time back in the Philippines, her life, her times, and then also the Japanese invasion of the Philippines and the American bombing of Manila. So that solo show, Ama, it showed at the Tank before. It just got accepted to the Exponential Festival for 2025. So I look forward to going back and redeveloping that for the Target Margin Theater in January of next year.
And let's see. So in June,
oh, right,
Kenneth and I will be switching roles. This is my third directing project in which I've directed Kenneth's shows. I stage managed one, but this upcoming June 21st to the 23rd, I'm helping organize a play reading festival at La Mama, and one of my shows will be read and Kenneth will be directing it. The show titled, the show that I wrote, I did write it. And so I will get to see what it's like when I get asked all of these extremely deep, detail-oriented directorial questions, and I'll just be like, I don't know. I just thought it would be funny. So, yes, the title is subject to change. Right now, it is the title of a Phil Collins song. It will not be that in June, I don't think. But anyway, there will be more information about it very soon.
That is fantastic. So some very exciting things that we need to keep tabs on. And that leads to my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about Brought Up or about either of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
My website is kennethkang.com. You're free to contact me through that. In terms of the upcoming show, which is what we would love to promote, is just Google brought up University Settlement Eventbrite, and that will land you in the relevant Eventbrite page. You can follow at performanceproject_US on Instagram. Yeah. So yeah, no, we would love to your listeners to come by, join us on this journey. We guarantee they will survive.
In a previous draft, that was questionable. And then for myself, my website is annapoorvagreen.com. And then I'm also, unfortunately, on the Instagram. It's good. Yes, my handle is annapoorvagreen. And you will find some information there. It'll be a lot of pictures of my dog. So if that is, you know, inspiring to people, if this hasn't already been, he's very, very cute, my dog. So there's that. Yeah, the Instagram. And then, of course, if you want to hear more about Brought Up, the University Settlement website will also have some more information that will take you to the ticket link, the Eventbrite.
The Instagram is performanceproject_US.
And again, I just want to do another massive thank you to Performance Project and University Settlement, because they have been tremendous in helping make the show come to life. The people here are phenomenal. So, you know, if we haven't already, you know, sold you on the show, come for the people that work here, because they're awesome.
Well, wonderful. Kenneth, Adam, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with me today. And for sharing this incredible show. I'm so excited about it. I so appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having us.
My guests today have been the amazing playwright Kenneth Kang and the phenomenal director Annapoorva Green, who joined us to talk about their new work, Brought Up, which is playing May 9th through the 11th at Speyer Hall Theater in University Settlement House. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting eventbrite.com. And we also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But right now, head over to eventbrite.com, get your tickets now. As they've said, you are guaranteed to survive the show, but it's a fantastic new work. It's a very timely work. You are going to want to see this. Don't miss out on it. The show again is Brought Up, playing May 9th through the 11th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.